You've probably heard about County Limerick, and you may even know a couple of places. But today we are talking about why you may want to linger a bit longer in Limerick. Hi, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me again here on the Traveling in Ireland podcast. Now, before we dig into today's podcast, I want to give you a little reminder. If you visit a place or meet someone that you heard about on the podcast, be sure to let them know. This helps me to get more great guests on the show and share more terrific Ireland attractions and tips. So go ahead and be a name dropper. Just say, I heard you on the Traveling in Ireland podcast. So today, we are venturing into County Limerick. Now, most visitors to Ireland have heard of Limerick. They know Limerick City, and some will add it to their itinerary. But for the most part, it's kind of a pass-through between Kerry and Clare, the Cliffs of Moher and the Ring of Kerry or the Dingle Peninsula. So today, we are going to talk about why you may want to linger a bit longer in Limerick, because I love an alliteration. Today, my guest is Brendan Skelly. Brendan is the co-owner of Bronze and Beru, which is a really terrific driver guide service that is based out of County Limerick. So, Brendan, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you for the invitation. Love to chat.
And I know I was actually warned. I think it might have been your partner, Richard, that said, Brendan can talk about Limerick forever. So you may need to rein him in. But I am really excited to dig into this because I absolutely love the county of Limerick. So do you want to give us a little, an overview, a primer, if you would, of Limerick? Maybe starting with where it is and what do people seem to know about the county before they visit?
Well, Limerick is situated on the Shannon River, so it was, I suppose it became to importance, we say, with the Vikings, because it was the only place that could actually cross the river coming up from the estuary, at the Corrigower, which is right opposite where King John's Castle is. So they would have built a settlement there and then started trading. So Limerick is one of the oldest cities in Ireland, dates back to 922, which would have been set up with the Vikings and a trading outpost. But it was also important because it was on the River Shannon, and the River Shannon splits Ireland kind of in half. And in years gone by, like, the river was the road, so people could travel up and down. So it was actually a very, very busy place and did a lot of trade. So then we'll say when the Normans came, the Normans set up King John's Castle. That was in the 1200s. I think it was about 1200, the 1210 they built that. So the whole area changed again. But again, it was also trading. And King John himself set up counties in Ireland for the first time. They broke up Ireland into places. And there was 12 counties in the original 12 counties in Ireland that were set up. And Limerick happened to be one of those as well. It also got a charter from the king to be an independent trader, which was also another feather in its cap. So it's really been a city and a county that was being influenced big time by the river, because the river was its outlet to the world, to be honest, in and out. And also, it's actually a fantastic area for agriculture. It's part of the Golden Vale, which is regarded as being some of the best land in Ireland. So the east part of the country would have been into the Golden Vale. And dairying and that kind of would be a huge industry in the area. So it's very picturesque to drive because it's full of green fields. It has lots of small kind of hills and left over from the ice age, called drumlins. So you can, if you climb one of these, you can get a lovely panoramic view of areas nearby. So it's actually a very pretty county, and it doesn't have any big hills. It has a couple of mountains on the outskirts of it, but normally it's flat. Actually, Limerick gets its name in Irish. Limnock, which means bare area, so it's kind of, it's a flatter part of Ireland, so, but it's very, very picturesque.
Definitely. Now, I find when talking with people that they know two things about County Limerick. They know Limerick City, and they know Adair. And obviously, the county has so much more to offer, and the city actually has quite a few things, too. Do you want to kind of talk about an overview of the city before we dig into the county?
Yeah, well, like I said, the city was set up by the Vikings. So then the Normans came and then they set it up. So the part of the city that they were actually in was known as the Irish town. And that was a walled city. Okay, but then we also had an English town, which was also a walled city. So we actually had two walled cities in the one city. Right? So when I was telling you about King John there, when the Normans came to Ireland and they set up the counties, they had their own laws. But the laws they had did not apply to the Irish. So this is probably why they ended up having the two cities, right? So they were governed by England, but the laws that they incorporated weren't actually for the locals. So that kind of continued on, let's say, until the 15th century, until they changed their religion and things started to change. But Ireland up until then was fairly peaceful, and they got on with each other. So a lot of those Norman people actually married into the Irish and became, as we say in Irish, more Irish than themselves. And one of them would have been the Fitzgeralds. So the Fitzgeralds would have been one of the bigger families in the area. So they had a place in Kilmallock in Limerick, which I think is actually a fantastic place. It's a medieval town as well. And it's got, you can see some of the old walls, some of the older parts of what it used to be like, more relevant out there than they actually are in Limerick City. Because Limerick City, when it started to expand, there was a bridge across the Abbey, and it was called Dale Bridge. And they actually knocked that down and they built a new one called Matthew Bridge. And that opened up the city. And there was a man called Edward Perry, and he was a speaker in the House of Commons in Dublin. And he had a lot of land in the area, and he decided to structure Limerick in a grid system, right? So what they did was they broke up the land from there back up. So he sold off lots into squares or rectangular pieces, like a grid. And then each developer would come in and buy the plot, and they would build their own houses. So they built Georgian houses. So we have the biggest Georgian settlement or houses outside of Dublin. And that's the reason why, because he did it. So it's on a grid system. And the man that designed it actually went to New York and probably maintained that he actually designed Manhattan in the same kind of system. But the reason for it was easy access. Mm-hmm. So they were all in grid. So there was, you know, so Limerick is laid out in the grid system along the Shannon River. And they built all these Georgian houses. So this is the new part of the city that went up.
So pretty easy to get around in, actually, in Limerick.
Very easy to get around because, yeah, it's a bit like Manhattan. You go up one street or down another one. It's fairly easy to get around.
So what would you say people should probably or, you know, consider adding to their itinerary within Limerick City? What are things they may not know about that they might want to check out?
King John's Castle is there for starters. Then we have the Hunt Museum, so we've got some art inside in the Hunt Museum. We have the Georgian houses. You can go up to the Georgian houses, up to Perry Square. There's a Georgian house up there. You can go in to see the Georgian houses. Actually, Perry Square was supposed to be an enclosed private resident area, but actually the builders went wallop, so it was only half finished. So now it's the People's Park. So we have a nice art gallery in the People's Park. And only around the corner is where Thomas Court went to school, where he wrote a book about Angela's Ashes. So like it's all kind of in a small central area. Mm-hmm. It's very, very close to each other. So we've actually recently only got a new museum for Irish rugby. So Limerick is a big rugby city. Mm-hmm. And Tumen Park is where Munster Rugby plays their home games.
That place is huge.
Huge, yeah. Limerick is very compact. Even though it's the third largest city in Ireland, it's only got about 100,000 people. So not including the hinterland, but the city itself. So it's very well laid out. The biggest problem used to be crossing the river. But at least that problem has now been solved with a new bridge and now a new tunnel. Mm-hmm. So when I was a child, I lived in Limerick City. The hardest thing was getting one side of the river to the other.
Oh, excellent. So Limerick City, obviously some great things to see and do. But in my opinion, I think the county is incredible. When you get out of the city and into that countryside, obviously you said it's incredibly beautiful. But there are some really amazing spots to stop and spend some time. Should we dig into that a little bit?
Yeah, well, like I said, Kilmallock now would be a place I would actually recommend to go. It's a medieval town and it has a lot of medieval buildings still in it and nice priories and stuff. Like I said, it was the head of the Desmond and they spent a lot of money in it. So it's probably one of the nicest preserved medieval towns in Ireland, I think. And it used to be a governing area because they were so powerful. So it had a lot of history in Irish.
Definitely off that tourist trail.
Yeah. And it leads then, I would say, if you're going out there toward Ballyhara or up to our Patrick, I cycle and I cycle all these roads. During COVID, I cycled every road in County Limerick because we were only allowed to stay in the county for a while. So there's lots of castles in County Limerick. In the 1500s, actually, it was 400 castles built alone in Limerick. It was the most castles built in any county in Ireland at the time. Just around again the time of King of Henry VIII. So there's lots of ruins. So like, I'm used to it because you look into someone's field and there's a castle or into a person's house and the farmer's yard and there's a castle inside it. Like they're everywhere. So I think actually you probably see more castles in Limerick than you see anywhere, especially ruins. You know, they're everywhere. There's houses built off the sides and everything. But if you go out that area out towards Ballyhaura, it's absolutely beautiful. There's some hills there. There's some nice drives. You can, if you're ever going, actually, if you're going to Cork or Fermoy, or you can wiggle around that way if people have the time. Biggest problem is having the time, giving yourself enough time to be able to stop along the way. But out towards the Galtees then, it's lovely out. The Galtees, in the distance, most of them are actually in County Tipperary. But the border of Limerick, that's a beautiful area. Again, it's kind of rolling countryside and very picturesque, especially on a nice day.
Definitely.
Yeah. So another place then I would also recommend would be go to Loch Gur. Loch Gur is actually very undervalued.
Yes, it's one of my favourite places.
You have the Grain Circle, which is the largest standing circle in Ireland, which is aligned with the summer solstice. And then we have a visitor centre in Loch Gur. And you've got wedge tombs, or you've got Stone Age stuff, you've got Iron Age forts. Like, it's all there in one small area. I know there are some of them are only ruins, but like, you can see where the history was and, you know, prehistoric old buildings. People lived in that area for an awful long time. And the Celts were big into water and, of course, the lake. There's a lot of folklore about the lake. And also we have a hill not far from that called Knock Aine, which is the hill belonged to Aine, which is the goddess in Irish folklore. And she has her own mountain. But if you go to the top of these little hills, you can see the further over to another one. So like you have on the Ballingarry side, then you have Knock Fearna, which is the mountain of the fairies. So we have a lot of folklore as well in the area. And like I was saying, when we go to Arpatrick, you have Oisín's Glen, which is Oisín, where supposed to come off his horse in another Irish fable. He went to Tiernanoge and came back, and he was told not to get off the horse, and he was giving people a hand to pick up a stone and fell off, and he aged by 400 years. So... But that is supposed to be happened in that this particular spot in the County Limerick as well. So there's lots of folklore associated with the areas, and you're out in the countryside, and there's some lovely walks and plenty of trees. And so the countryside is actually a nice place in Limerick, and it's way off the beaten track. If you're looking for a nice, quiet, relaxing day in the Irish countryside, I don't think you could pick a better county than Limerick.
And that's true. I can't argue that point at all. So we've gone kind of east in Limerick. But Limerick goes a bit west as well, because it does, you know, follows the Shannon almost all the way to the ocean.
Yeah.
And you've got some beautiful coastal drive on that side.
Yeah, there's a lovely drive along the estuary, down as far as Fines. And of course, again, Fines is another area where you'd stop. It was famous for the flying boats that used to land. There's an island in the River Shannon. That area, the water was all calm, so they were able to land the boats. So the first transatlantic flights into Europe were actually used to land in Fines. And during the war, they were landing in soldiers in Fines. They actually created the Irish coffee. It's the famous Irish coffee. It was actually created in Fines. So Limerick can claim the Irish coffee. But it was just that they were trying to give the people something hot because they were so cold. But the original tower is still there, and they have a museum there, and they have a part of flying boat. It's actually a very interesting place to go to if you're interested in that kind of stuff.
Even if you're not, it's really interesting, because I have to say, we've been twice, three times. I can't even remember now. But it is so well done and so interesting that even if you're not an aviation nerd,
yeah,
it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating, yeah. Yeah, for instance, things like that, it's fascinating, yeah. It's how they actually got across the Atlantic. It's they were... fairly brave people in those kind of planes, but they're not much better at the moment, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, so it is an interesting place, but it's a beautiful drive. It's very picturesque. If you were going to Kerry, it can bring you into Listowel and those villages. They're nice villages in their own right. So it's a lovely spot, or if you're going to the ferry even, to cross over to go to the Cliffs of Moher. So you can go to Kilimer, or Tarbert to Kilimer. So it's a lovely drive. A lot of people don't do it, but it is a beautiful drive. On a nice day again, and if you can go up some of the hills, you can get even a better view, because you're looking down on the River Shannon itself, which is tied, like I said, until it gets to Limerick. So there's always water in it. Yeah, and you see some of the boats going up now, up the Fines and back out to the estuary. And it's an interesting place, yeah, to stop. And then if you go east of that again, then you can go up over to Arda, we'll say, where the famous Arda Chalice was found. And you can go over to Newcastle West, which actually has a Newcastle, as it says, a guilty name for it. The Desmond Castle goes back to the Fitzgeralds again. So like, they were prominent in the area. So you've got a castle in that way, again, heading to Abbeyfeel, which is on the border of Kerry. So that particular area, some of that land there wouldn't be of the same quality as the Golden Vale, but still in all, it's still a picturesque area.
And lousy with castles.
Mostly, you find more castles where the land is good, mm-hmm. because okay. that's where the people wanted to be. So anywhere you find lots of castles, you know the land is good. The less castles you see, you know the land isn't as good.
So land worth fighting for, as you would say.
Yes, correct.
Wonderful. So much history in Limerick. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning when we started talking, you co-own a driver guide service called Bronze and Beru. And Bronze and Beru is actually one of my recommended driver guide services in Ireland. I get so many terrific emails after you take out people that I am assisting with their Ireland vacations, just rave reviews all the time. So let's talk a little bit about Bronze and Beru.
Yeah.
How long have you been driving? And yeah, tell me a little bit about the company.
I used to be a bookmaker. Okay. So I used to go to the racetrack. That was my occupation. And it was a family business. So my dad was bookmaker as well. So I went into the family business. So in 08, we had a crash in Ireland in 08 when we had a bubble burst, when the property market fell apart. Long story short, anyway, the bookmaking business died a death. So I had a business in England as well. So I was in England for a couple of years and then I came back. I didn't know what to do. So I met a pal of mine and he told me to go into this business. He says, I was a bookmaker. I used to drive all over Ireland to all the racetracks. Mm-hmm. And we'd stay away as well we'd go to Killarney for a week and we'd stay in Killarney. And, you know, the races would be only on every so many days. But we'd take a house we used to have a mobile home we used to rent. And we'd stay in Killarney for the week. And then we'd go to Galway. We'd stay in Galway for the week. And then we'd go to Tramore and stay down in that area for a month. So we traveled around all those areas and places. So I was used to driving. Like, we used to go to the races. So I could get up in the morning and I could drive to Navan, go to the races and come home that night, and we could go to Killarney the following day. So I was literally on the road all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I spent my life. It was on the road. So I've been driving all my life. So he said, you'd be suitable to it, because when you'd be racing as well, you're dealing with the public. So you're chatting all the time and mm-hmm. you'd be having conversations and you're meeting all types of people. And he says, you'd be ideal for this. And he said, you're really interested in history. So I had a great history teacher in school and he got me interested in history. And I always liked history. And I always liked geography. And I always was very good at map reading and all that kind of stuff. So I knew my way. I used to never use a map or anything. And actually, when I started off doing this business, like, if people would tell you, are you on the M6 or the M6? I said, I don't know, I'm on the Listowel Road or I'm on the Abbeyfield Road. Or I didn't, because years ago, they didn't have any numbers on the roads.
Right.
So if you get a map today, they have all these numbers. I still don't know half of them. But I guarantee you, I won't get lost. Because when we were going racing, we didn't have the motorways as we have mm-hmm. today. So we had to go through all these towns. So we were always looking for ways to get around town. So we were going off the beaten track all the time to get around and try to get to the races in time. Because if you got stuck in traffic, you were in terrible trouble. So I was kind of, I suppose, building up with I knew exactly where I was going all the time.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get from A to B. But it was all over the country. So I had that in my locker before I started. So I started working in 2013 for a touring company. And myself and the boss, we fell out. I think I was just used to working for myself. So we fell out. So then in 2014, I started working on my own. And that's why, and the name of the company is named Bronze and Beru. So it's like bronze is for the Bronze Age, kind of covering that area. And Beru was for Brian Beru, who was the last High King of Ireland. And he was dead 1,000 years in 2014. And that was the year I started. So I put the two together and that's where we came up with the name. So the name is to do with Irish history as well. So that's where we started. And so then I started on my own and I was working on my own. And I bought a bus and then I started driving the bus. And then we bought a Viano. So I had two vehicles and then I was getting lads to do a job for me here and there. And I just got busier and busier. And then Richard came on board. And now Richard works full time. So we work together full time. We still have a few extra vehicles and we get drivers in on a part-time basis. So that's basically when I started and how I started. And doing tours since 2013. So this will be my 11th season.
And as you said, you have a few vehicles. I know you have two passenger vehicles. You have vehicles that can do 4 and 5. And then you have the sprinters. You have capacity for up to 12 at
yes.
a time with your largest sprinter. So basically groups of any size. So where can people find you online? Website? And are there any social accounts that they might want to follow to kind of see what you do?
Well, I have an Instagram, but I'm not a great social person, right? I have an Instagram and we have a Facebook, Bronze and Beru. on Instagram. Mostly all I do on my Instagram is post photographs. So when I'm working, I just take photographs and I stick them up. I think I have about 18,000 photographs on my phone. Phone keeps telling me I need to get rid of them. I'm paying for storage, but I just keep taking them. Sometimes I'm worse than the clients. I see something and I say, oh, I must get a photograph of that. Because if it passes by, it's gone, you know.
And there's always something new, whether you've been there before or not. I say that a lot about like the Cliffs of Moher. It doesn't matter that I've seen them 17 times. Every time I'm there, it's a different experience. So I totally get it.
Funny you talk about the Cliffs of Moher. Now, I was at the Cliffs of Moher there in December, and there was a yellow wind warning. Mm-hmm. I had clients from France that came to the rugby match in Toowoomba Park. They were staying in Liscannor, and was it too windy to go up to the Cliffs of Moher? We passed it the day before, but it was too dark and it was too windy. So the woman in the house, she said, oh, you can't go back without going up to the Cliffs of Moher. So we looked at the clients and they made up their mind, okay, we're going to go. But we went up and it was so windy, I never saw the likes of it, right? It was it shouldn't have been opened in my eyes. It was like walking through a wall, right? And I was like, You know, and they absolutely loved it. They loved it. I thought they were going to get blown away. There was people falling on the ground now from the window. I never saw it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it was blown right down along the cliffs. So there was no protection. Normally, the wind blows in off the ocean.
Right.
So I've been there when the wind is in off the ocean. And it was so windy that actually the wind that day, if you back down to over the top of it, the water was actually going up like a shower up over the top. And it never stopped. It was pumping it up like the wind was. It was just literally blown up. It was like going through a shower, salt water shower, to get over to O'Brien's Tower. But the previous time I sent you, it was coming off the ocean and it was so bad that the foam was going up in the air. It was like it was snowing.
Wow.
You talk about different, going there different days, you get different experiences. And they're two very different ones I had now, I say, with wind. So I never get fed of it either, because it's like the wild. It's like the wild.
Puts the wild in Wild Atlantic Way for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But back to, because I know you have a website as well. So if you want to share that URL, just so you know, my listeners all know that they can visit the show notes to get all of the links that we talk about. So I will be sure to add that in. But if you want to share that website URL, that'd be great.
bronzeandbaru.com will get you onto our website.
Super easy.
Super easy.
And Baru is spelled B-O-R-U.
Yeah, Brian Baru.
Yep. All right. So we're going to wrap up with probably the hardest question I ask in my chats, because it's kind of like choosing your favorite child. So what are three things that you think people should not miss in County Limerick? You're going to need a car to reach some of these recommended destinations, and I'm excited to share that my listeners receive an exclusive 10% discount from Irish Car Rentals. All you have to do is visit IrelandFamilyVacations.com/ICR, and that will take you directly to the booking page and my exclusive 10% discount. Again, that's IrelandFamilyVacations.com/ICR. Now, let's hear about these recommended destinations.
Well, I would say the Flying Boat Museum should be one, yeah? I would say Kilmallock and Lochgar. They would be my three. None of them are in the city.
So none of them are in the city, are they?
The reason I'm giving those, if you want to slip by the city, you could go there. I suppose you could add in a day or a day. I don't live far from a day or so. I'm in a day all the time. It's a beautiful little village. So they would be my three. The Flying Boat Museum, go down by the ocean. I would definitely go to the medieval town in Kilmallock off the beaten track. And Lochgar is just so much history. It's unbelievable.
Tell me if I'm going to get this right. Because if I'm just thinking of people going from, let's say, the Cliffs of Moher down to Killarney, if they cross on the Shannon Ferry and then they can hit the Flying Boat Museum.
Yeah.
And then they would go to Lochgar and then Kilmallock and then from Kilmallock down to Kerry. That's right, right? Do I have my spots correct?
If you wanted to go that way, if you wanted to come in by the ocean, you could come in and we can slip off and you could maybe go over into Dare and then maybe... Or no, I can even go over to Ballingarry and then come there over to Brewery. There's another nice place now, Brewery. You know, at the home where Emil De Valera came, which was ended up being the Taoiseach of Ireland, and he was born in America, was part of the 1916 Rising, didn't get executed because he was American, and later on in life he became president or Taoiseach of the country, and then became the president of the country. So yes, he was reared in Brewery, which Brewery means King's Palace. That's the translation of the name of the area. So like came from the King's Palace, so he became king of the country. Eamon de Valera. Yeah, so
much history.
And then we go beyond that, then you go out to Brough, where the Kennedys came from.
Yeah,
where the Kennedys came from. So that's so much history.
Yeah, the Fitzgeralds,
yeah.
Fitzgerald side of the Kennedys came from Brough, right? Brough. Am I remembering correctly?
Correct, yeah. You're correct, yeah.
And I'm just going to give a little shout out, since we're talking about Brough, to my favorite B&B, which is the Old Bank.
Right.
Miriam there is a great friend of mine, and gosh, she gives a warm welcome. So I'll just toss that in.
She love you for it.
Ah, I love Miriam. Well, Brendan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to give us a little bit more about Limerick, some reasons to spend more time in the county, and definitely so much history to dig into there.
You'd have to stay the next time you come now.
More time.
Glad you to have me on, and I hope I've given some people some ideas in the future. So maybe we'll see you in County Limerick someday.
And if you want a really great day tour of Limerick, or to spend more time with Brendan, just reach out to him.
A day tour after me, I'd definitely be able to show you where to go.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Take care.
It's always so much fun to hear from a local about the place they live and get even more ideas for visiting that location. Now, if you're looking for a really great itinerary to add some time in Limerick to, I really recommend my Southwest Sampler. This is a great first trip to Ireland itinerary because it hits so many highlights. You are going to find that itinerary at irelandfamilyvacations.com/SWS. So S as in Sam, W as in want, S as in Sam. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you can't leave a review on your podcast app, leave a review at the Ireland Family Vacations Facebook page, or if you're an Instagram user, snap a screenshot of the podcast, pop it into your Instagram stories, tag me at Ireland Family Vacations, and say something nice. If you have questions or comments, you can email me, Jody, J-O-D-Y, at irelandfamilyvacations.com. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, slán go fóill.